Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, 13th chapter, verses 24 to 30, then skipping to verse 36 and going on to 43. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. The servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first, bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Our Old Testament scripture comes from the book of Genesis, the 28th chapter, verses 10 to 19a. "Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord, the father of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall be the families of the earth, shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you.' Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.' And he was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put his head on and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the name of the place Bethel. May God bless to us the readings of His Word. You may know that Gene and I spent the last week of July at our cabin in the mountains. I think it's probably the first time we spent 7 continuous days up there in almost 4 years. As we were there, I got to thinking about the summers I spent there when it was my grandfather's cabin, back when I was very small. One thing I remember was that even when we were on vacation there, Mom took us to Sunday school. Just one of those things you always did. Gene and I still go to the little church I used to attend Sunday school in. And we made a point of getting there while we were on vacation to talk about how I was doing and even more to thank them for joining together with you and so many others in praying for me this last year. Place is a little country church. June and I decided that you could multiply their attendance by 5 and bring them here and you would still outnumber them. That's how tiny they are. They don't have a Sunday school anymore, but you can understand that. But I remembered it. And I'm saying all this because one of the things I remembered there kind of influenced my choice in sermon topic for this morning. I remember opening exercises for Sunday school when I was little. They so often sang this one song, simple song, special meaning. And I think the thing that emphasized it most for me was we never sang that song in our home church. But so often there we sang it. Some of you might know it. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Soldiers of the cross. You can see how that affected my choice of our Old Testament scripture this morning. That scripture is the story of a man named Jacob. He was the youngest son of a man named Isaac. Up to this point, Jacob has led a somewhat interesting life. Jacob was a trickster, if we want to be kind. To be honest, he was a liar. And to be really honest, he was a thief. The story we shared together today gives the impression that Jacob is some sort of romantic wanderer, off on a journey through the desert. In a way, that's true. Jacob was a wanderer, having outwitted his older brother Esau and stolen his birthright from him. Jacob fled into the desert to escape his brother's anger. He was a wanderer because he was afraid to go back home. One night, as he's wandering through the desert, he found what looked like a pleasant place and set up camp. Finally retired for the night and went to sleep, and as he slept, he dreamed. And what a dream it was. He dreamt of a huge ladder, its base standing on the ground before him, its top rungs reaching up into heaven. And as he watched, angels were climbing up and coming down this ladder. Messengers of God coming and going as they went about doing God's business in the world. And in his dream, the voice of God spoke to Jacob. The voice told this homeless liar, this wandering thief, what God was planning to use him to carry out his work in the world. No matter where he went, no matter what he did, God would go with him and let his blessings rest upon him. Then we're told that Jacob woke up and he recognized God's presence in that place. So he built an altar there, a monument to God. He named that place Bethel, the house of God. I guess really it's that part of the story that I've been thinking about lately. The naming of the place, Bethel. We Christians have kind of taken over that name. Maybe not every church is Bethel, but we often refer to our churches as houses of God. And more specifically, we in the Reformed faith who don't believe God can be confined to specific sites or sanctuaries, we feel the holiness of God's presence is found everywhere. So for us at least, there's a sense in which we can call this entire world, maybe the entire universe, Bethel, the house of God. That's God's promise, both to Jacob and to us, that in all times and in all places, God will be with us, watching over us, taking care of us. It is such a wonderful promise to spend our lives in Bethel, in the presence of God. Unfortunately, I sometimes think it's precisely because of such promises that a lot of people don't take our faith seriously. For example, today they look around the world. The anger and the hatred that continue to haunt the world. Floods and earthquakes and violence between nations and just as often between people. They see those things and they ask, where is the presence of God in all this? Where is God's love and concern for the world in the face of such terrible suffering, death, and destruction? It's strange, I think, but a lot of people think that those questions prove our faith is just some sort of fairy tale. Such thoughts, however, misunderstand what God actually promised. Or maybe we're just trying to impose on God the things we wish He would promise us. God doesn't promise Jacob that his life is going to be easier from that point on. Just that God will be with him whatever happens. Just like he promises to be with us. And in fact, if you go back and read the book of Genesis, you'll find that as Jacob's story continues, new and different problems just keep coming at him. But God remains with him and helps him through each and every trial. In fact, it's this same idea that Jesus is addressing in this morning's New Testament lesson. First, he's teaching a crowd that gathers to hear him, and later it's more private lessons for the disciples, but he's talking about the coming of God's kingdom. It's one of those strange lessons that Jesus sometimes teaches. The kingdom of heaven is here, right now, but it will come even more fully later. The parable that Jesus teaches is not only about Bethel, the house of God. More specifically, it's about God's garden. The kingdom is like a garden, says Jesus. Man goes and plants good, healthy seeds. And that night everybody goes to bed and an enemy comes along and sows seeds that grow up into weeds. He plants those weeds right there next to the good seeds. The plants grow up good and healthy, and the weeds grow just as healthy. They grow up so thick and so close to the good plants that you can't tear out the weeds without damaging the crop as well. So the gardener decides, let them both grow. Crops and weeds together. Decides to wait and sort it all out in the harvest. You may recognize that's our world that Jesus is describing. Notice that there are a lot of people who would make a major issue out of it. But in the story, the gardener's enemy is pretty much unimportant. The devil comes, does his nasty work, and then just disappears. Really, there are only three things that matter in the story. The gardener, his plants, and the weeds. Our world. God is the gardener. We are the good, strong, healthy plants that He has sown. The weeds represent the presence of sin in the world. All the things and happenings and people that make our lives hard. That try to turn us away from God. Sin is present. There's nothing we can do to change that. It affects the world. It affects the people, both good people and bad people. Sin affects us. It affects the lives we live. The weeds grow up around us, but the gardener's still here. God is with us, helping, loving, caring, doing all that He can to help us in this life, and also preparing to sort out the harvest, to clean everything up in the life to come. Maybe that's the best way to look at it. We now live on God's estate in His garden. We are His crops. We are His children. We are growing and maturing in His kingdom as it exists in the world today. There are trials here. Sin is all around us, and it can trouble us in the same way that weeds choke healthy plants. But the gardener's still here. God protects us and loves us in spite of the sin of the world that surrounds us. But the ultimate promise is, on the day when we experience God's estate, not in the garden, but in the fullness of Bethel, when we will ascend the ladder and enter God's house to live there as beloved children forever. Let's pray. God, we don't like to admit it, but sometimes we get upset with You. You don't do things the way we wish You would. Even those who love You and who You love, for us life is hard. God, remind us always that no matter how hard it is, You are with us. That You're watching over us and caring for us and protecting us and giving us wisdom and strength to face the trials. God, help us to find joy in You, even in such a strange world. Help us also to find joy in Your promise that this strange world is only temporary. That someday we will climb Jacob's ladder into the fullness of Your kingdom in heaven. And there we will know the fullness of eternal life in joy and peace forever. Amen.